This is Laura Dierda, Editor-in-Chief at Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled today to visit with Ed Marks, the CIO of Cleveland Clinic. Ed is a remarkable leader in person. We will discuss 5 to 7 questions today. First off, Ed, could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be part of the program. And as you mentioned, my name is Ed, and I'm first and foremost a husband, a father, a son, and I have this amazing opportunity to serve as the CIO for the Cleveland Clinic. And it's really my dream job. And so it's awesome when you can be working in your dream job. And really my whole life, the way I look at life and my work is around 4 cornerstones of share, study, shape, and serve. So when someone says, tell me about yourself, who are you? It's all around share, study, shape, and serve.
Fantastic. And I understand you recently authored a book. Could you please tell us a little bit about that book?
Yeah, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Throughout my career, I've been fortunate to be associated with some very innovative people and organizations, especially here at the Cleveland Clinic. And so HIMSS, our professional organization for healthcare and technology, had approached me actually a few years ago about writing a book about how to leverage innovation to really make dramatic transformational type changes. And so I thought to myself, if it's just me, we're in a lot of trouble. But if we expand the book, and if I were to just serve as the editor and really reach out to people around the world who are real innovators, it would make for much better and more compelling book. So that's indeed what we did. And so the book is really 40 different contributors from around the world representing the providers, representing vendor partners, and about a 75-25% mix of providers. And they come from small hospitals, large hospitals, health systems, academic systems, public health systems. And the vendors are some of very large vendors that you'd recognize, and some are from smaller vendors. So really the book is a continuum of different examples of how people are innovating across the globe. So it really applies to everyone. And then we had 35 different endorsements from CEO of very major companies and very influential people who serve in healthcare. So it was really quite an honor to even be associated with the book and its development. I learned a tremendous amount about myself and about innovation, just having that sort of bird's eye view into the making of the book. And it's really a handbook in terms of how do you do innovation? You know, everyone talks about innovation, but few actually do it, if you think about it. And healthcare, you know, we're so far behind a lot of other verticals in the way that we leverage technology. It's time for us to make a huge leap forward. And so this book uses a very simple pathway that's been created by HIMSS. And then it's just chock full of practical examples, as I mentioned, all these different types of individual leaders and companies who have actually innovated using some aspect of that innovation pathway. So it's like a field manual, if you will. So you could be at a small hospital and you're like, how do I innovate? You can grab this and learn from how other organizations did it. Or you could be from a large, very complex health system and wonder about innovation or how do you continue innovation or spark innovation. And again, you can read these stories, real life stories, contemporary stories of others who have made transformative changes. So it's really, to me, I get excited every time I reread it just because I'm like, wow, what this is amazing what people are doing. And if only we could all learn from them as examples and then do it ourselves in our organization. So that's a little bit about the book and why I'm so excited about it.
It sounds like a fascinating read. Between the book and your responsibilities as CIO of Cleveland Clinic and the other things that you're involved in, how do you keep yourself motivated?
Well, the first thing is I know my calling and who I am. So I'm very secure in what my life purpose is and why I'm here and how that melds perfectly into my career in healthcare technology. So it creates this natural passion. People think, or they wonder if I drank too much coffee or something, but this is actually how I am because I'm just excited about what we have done, but more so what we can do still in leveraging technology to save people's lives, to increase quality of care, patient safety, all those sort of things. And then some of the practical things that I do, because, you know, I'm like everyone else. Every once in a while, I'll get down. Maybe I ran into an obstacle. Something happens, you know, as it does in all of our lives, whether personally and professionally. And so some of the things that I do that are practical that might be helpful is I round continuously. So I round with nurses, I round with physicians. I'm married to a nurse, so I'm always hearing great patient stories and things that are going on in healthcare from a provider-centric point of view. So that's always great. We include patients in our development. So the things that we develop, the products that we develop out of IT, we include patients. So there's constant patient interaction. The other thing is I volunteer weekly. So again, sometimes we get caught into the sort of the distractions. I mean, necessary distractions. But if you get too distracted, you forget why you're there. Why are you there to lead IT? How can technology help patients and caregivers? And so by volunteering every week, I get to see firsthand patients. I interact with patients. I see clinicians, caregivers. So that's what really helps. And really two other things really quickly is my peers. I mean, I sit in the leadership room and I look around at my peers. I'm like, wow, I get to not only hang out with these individuals, but I get to learn from them. So I'm always learning. And that motivates me too, because I'm like, you can't sit back on your laurels. You have to be on top of your game. And then finally, and maybe undergirds almost everything I just said, is really the mission of the organization. We have a near 100-year-long mission that's never changed. And if anything, no matter, again, how the day goes or anything like that, I can always look to that mission to provide that sort of passion and that guidance to keep me motivated.
What's your single most important role as CIO?
I thought a lot about that question because our CEO recently asked us to answer three questions, and they're so basic, but yet very thought-provoking. And, you know, one of them really is kind of what's your most important role as a leader? And so what I came up with is to serve my manager and my team. So I report to the CEO, and he has the vision and the mission of the organization. And so one of my roles is to serve him. So what my most important role is to make sure he's successful, because when he is successful, the organization is successful. When the organization is successful, that means we're at the top of our game in patient safety, in quality of care. That means we're able to expand. You know, one of the things we want to do in the next 5 years is double the number of lives touched. If I'm serving the CEO and doing a good job, that means that we'll be able to double the number of lives touched, which means that we can bring Cleveland Clinic quality of care and patient experience around the world. So that's really important. And then when I say my team, to serve my manager team, my team are my peers. So we serve as the executive team, and I'm there to make them successful as well. Because again, if I'm serving our chief nursing officer, that means that her nurses have the tools that they need to do the best job they can. If I'm serving the chief quality officer, that means that she has all the technology that she needs to ensure the highest level of quality of patient safety in our organization. And I can just go around the room, whether we're talking about the chief medical officer or a chief of staff, as we call it, or talking about the chief financial officer. So my peers, if I can serve my peers well and my boss, my manager, that's my most important role.
What setbacks have you faced and how have you recovered?
So like everyone else, I've had a lot of setbacks. I've had major setbacks, I have minor setbacks. But the important thing is really to fall forward. So you are going to fall, whether you use a skiing analogy, you know, you're going to fall. Fall forward, get back up, and keep going. And so one big one, and, you know, I had a heart attack. So I'm a pretty healthy person by every physiological standard. And I had this massive heart attack called a Widowmaker. I was in the end of a race, a pretty long race, last couple of miles to go. Suddenly, I had this massive heart attack. Not knowing any better and being somewhat prideful, I wasn't going to stop. So I finished the race, but then checked myself into the medical tent. And I had this remarkable recovery. So after this near-death experience, I had this remarkable recovery. And part of it has to do with technology. So those things that I advocated for many, many years, suddenly saved my life. And so now I'm like a double advocate for all this technology. So how did I recover from setbacks? One is leveraging technology, leveraging my faith. And then, of course, the clinicians helped me recover. So it was really a combination of faith, family, technology, the best clinicians ever that helped me recover. So you can never, what I learned from that is that you can never try, don't try to recover on your own, because you'll probably not succeed. Or if you do succeed, it won't be super successful. But if you fall, you should have already surrounded yourself with amazing, amazing people. And they will be there for you when you fall to help you back up. So if it weren't for my family, if it weren't for some of my teammates on my on the team that I race for and others to sort of help me and motivate me and get me to make sure that I comply with everything I need to comply with as part of my recovery, it wouldn't have been as successful. But as it was extremely successful. So today, I am more healthier physiologically and a faster racer than I was before the heart attack. So that's sort of one huge step back and how I recovered. But hopefully my explanation of the recovery can really apply to a lot of other areas of life where you'll have a setback.
That's extremely inspiring to hear. And I'm wondering, too, if you could share with us how you've evolved professionally.
So you have to evolve professionally. If you don't, you will be passed up. As I mentioned, I'm a racer. I'm on a competitive team. And there's just a natural part of me, probably the way that I grew up. But, you know, I started out as this, literally, this poor Bavarian boy wearing lederhosen in southern Germany. We grew up in the Alps region, and we grew up in a loving family, but poor family. And to Holocaust survivors, my parents both survived the Holocaust in different ways. And so I learned from a very young age, especially when we moved to the United States when I was 10 years old, that I had to reinvent myself to survive. Imagine going to school and you're wearing lederhosen, which is exactly what happened to us when we came to the United States. My parents didn't know any better. And so I learned that you had to reinvent yourself for multiple reasons. One, if you want to get ahead, you have to change. You have to keep learning and growing. Healthy things grow. So every once in a while, you got to prune things back a little bit so that you can grow further. And that's part of the reinvention process. So I have sought out that continuously. I have a plan for my career. I've had it for over 20 years. I adjust it on an annual basis. I have someone else help me with it in terms of making sure it's well thought out, well crafted. And when I measure myself at the end of each year and I do a retreat and see if I've met my key results, my objectives, those sorts of things, I then make adjustments like where do I need to go through to next? And so if I didn't do that, I would be so far behind. I certainly wouldn't be a leader at the Cleveland Clinic. I can guarantee you that. So one of my sort of professional objectives is always growing other people and growing the team that reports to me, because we have to continuously motivate one another and push one another to get to that next level. And so that's what one of been the greatest gifts being part of the Cleveland Clinic is that I have seen my own growth already, even though it's been short of 2 years, because that's just the nature of our organization. It's very innovative. There's high expectations, and you have to reinvent yourself and evolve yourself. So the lesson there is put yourself in a situation where you have to serve. In order to survive, you have to thrive. And so I put myself purposely in this organization, partially because I wanted to grow. I wanted to be part of an innovative organization and help achieve the goals that we have, help double the number of lives, let everyone around the world who wanted the opportunity to have care at the Cleveland Clinic have that care. And so now it's all about the whole virtual and the whole digital. And so we've reinvented not just myself and my team that reports to me, but really the whole organization. Now we're going through that metamorphosis. So whether it's an individual or organization, you have to continuously evolve. And that's how, those are a couple ideas on how I've done that.
If this year is successful for your team in Cleveland Clinic, what does that look like?
So we are operated by what we call objectives and key results. And these are garnered from our strategic framework. So we have a 5-year strategic plan, and out of that plan come our OKRs. OKRs, these objectives/key results, are fundamental. These are this is a philosophy of leadership, of strategy that was brought about 2 decades ago, and it was very helpful for Intel, and then it was very helpful for Google. There was a brilliant leader named John Doerr, who he actually recently wrote a book called Measure What Matters, and it's all about OKRs. And we've embraced these. So when someone asks me a question like that, I can tell you exactly, because that's my report card. And I've published that internally. Everyone knows, all of our caregivers, all 66,000 caregivers have access to see what our OKRs are. And from an IT perspective, they see the exact ones that are for IT. And then we update them. Some are updated real time. Others are updated on a more monthly basis, depending what they're measuring. So when you ask, what's a success look like for the Cleveland Clinic and our team? Well, for the Cleveland Clinic, you know, if I talk to you about our five-year goal is really to double the number of lives touched. I've mentioned that before. So in the preceding years, we have very specific markers about how many lives that is. So if we are starting to double the number of lives touched, we know that we're on that path to success. Another area is serious safety events, right? Our goal is zero. We have zero serious safety events. We have hit the mark. The other thing we're trying to do is decrease length of stay, right? That's an issue, a challenge for every healthcare organization. And so we have a marker for what our length of stay key result is. And when we hit that, we know that it's been a successful year. And so within IT, our 5-year sort of range that we put out there is that 50% of our visits, outpatient visits, will be virtual. So every year leading to that marker, we have a very specific target. So I know at the end of 2019, how many virtual visits by percentage we should have. And I could tell you, hey, we've been successful because we met that. Or it's the same thing we call major incidents, right? When there's a crisis within IT, within technology that impacts our caregivers' ability to do their job, we call that a major incident. Our goal for 2019 is zero major incidents. So you can ask me at the end of the year, how did you do? And I can tell you precisely how many major incidents we had, if any, and if we did, what was the root cause, and what did we learn from it, and what did we do as a result of that situation to keep things from happening like that again. So those are one or two examples from both a clinic perspective and from an IT perspective, but they're all focused on one thing, that is patient-centered care, empathetic patient care, the highest quality with the highest safety possible. So that's an example of what success would look like.
Well, thank you very much, Ed, for your insightful remarks today. It's really been a pleasure to speak with you, and I look forward to continuing to see what you do at Cleveland Clinic.
Again, thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.